that quorum.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and move to a public hearing. That's item number three. We'll call the meeting to order then. We'll go ahead and move to item number three, which is a public hearing in consideration of adding Cannon Way and Cannon Court to the county road list.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Roy Smith presented a request to add two roads to the county road list that we heard last month. I then forwarded a notice from Mr. Robinson that was ran in the courier to have a public hearing tonight to see if there are any public comments regarding these two roads. Now, I'm going to yield to our county executive, and we're only going to hear one tonight, correct, Mayor?
Yes, sir. What happened to us was Cannon Way, it was accepted by 911. Cannon Court, there was already a Cannon Court when it went through 911, and it's going to have to be changed to Cannon Place. So Cannon Way is the correct name of the road, and we're just going to bring it to the public hearing, Cannon Way, and then we're going to have to separate off Cannon Place.
So Cannon Place I'll send you another ad, David, and we'll run that and have a public hearing next month for that. And so, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, won't you ask and see if there's any public comments regarding adding Cannon Way to the Cannon County road list?
Okay. Does anyone have any comments about Cannon Way being added to the official county road map?
Chairman, you can close the public hearing.
All right. We will do so. Then the public hearing is closed. Thank you, Tommy. I appreciate it. And Richie, good to have you back with us. Just mention that Lacey Buchanan said she had a work conflict tonight, so that's the reason she would not be with us. John Wilkinson told us last month that he would not be here because he and his wife were expecting a child, and they were just over the moon excited about that. Well, in the last week, it seems maybe they have lost that child. And I really hate to hear that for them. They had tried for many years, and they were in the process of adopting. And in that process of adoption, she became pregnant. And they were just really excited about that. So I know they're grieving that loss. And if you would, let's go to God in prayer on behalf of John, his wife. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day, for the many ways that you bless us each day that we live. We thank you for the rain that we've had today, and we just ask that you continue to be with those who have been fighting forest fires today in Warren County, and we know that the rain will help that situation, and just be with them and keep them safe. Especially this time, we'd like to come to you on behalf of our friend and fellow board member, John Wilkinson, and his wife, who were so excited about the birth of a son and who have just recently lost that son. And we know you know their hearts and how they are grieving, how they are hurting, and we would just ask that you bring them comfort and understanding as they go through this as much as they possibly can, and be with us as we see them and just support them in this time of grief. We're so thankful for the many ways that you bless us. We'd ask that you be with us as we go through this meeting. Help us to make the proper decisions, the decisions that would be the best for this county. We're so thankful for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's through his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Chairman, if I may, just for informational purposes, we have 6 firefighters and 2 fire trucks in Warren County have been out. And I just want to let everybody know that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
We'll move. I had not heard there were fires in Warren County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I had not heard that.
Yeah. Do you know where the Isha community is up there on Highway 8 going out of McMinnville toward Highway 111?
Yes.
They own several thousand acres between Highway 8 and Highway 56, I think it is, and their long-range plan is to build a huge community of people there. But anyway, somebody was disgruntled, and I think, intentionally set some fires over there. That's what I'm getting. That's just some hearsay at this point in time. But anyway, it's been a major issue. It's been a major issue, mainly to, I think it was started yesterday. Yesterday?
Days ago.
And they've been fighting since. And I know. Yeah. They've called in a lot of different fire departments, and they've had a couple of Black Hawk helicopters working on it. So that's a big deal. We'll move back up to item number two then and get the approval of the September 27 minutes. They were emailed to us. I saw one little typo. Is all I saw. It was two G's and should have been one. I forget where. Oh, it's on page under item number eight. You've got two G's in the agricultural district. That's, and I haven't gone through here. That one just popped out at me.
That dumb spelling.
Yeah. That's the only thing I saw. But are there any other additions, corrections to the minutes?
Want a motion to approve?
Absolutely.
I move to approve the minutes with the exception
okay.
of the correction.
Already have a motion by.
I second
that. And a second. All right, thank you very much. Any further questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Carolyn. I'm sorry.
So I'm going to do the consideration.
Okay, item number four is consideration of extension of letter of credit for Forest View Hideaway. It's my understanding that, is anybody here for that?
Yes, Ms. Hamby is here.
Oh, okay. Stephanie, yes.
And just a little bit of brief history. This final plat was approved 2 years ago, and Mr. Hancock had, basically stated that he did not want to add the road to the road list until the majority of the homes were completed. We came back in October of last year and extended the letter of credit, and Ms. Hamby is back this year to ask for another extension at the request of our county road superintendent. Mr. Hancock, you reviewed the letter of credit. Determined that it wasn't sufficient, and so you asked them to increase the letter of credit. Mr. Barker has that there, and the amount now is $150,480. And Mr. Hancock, is that satisfactory to you?
That's correct, yes.
And is it your recommendation that the Planning Commission extend this letter of credit for another year?
That's correct.
Okay, we have a request. We have a
Can I see the letter?
Are you sure, ma'am?
How many homes do you have there now?
We have two that are being lived in and two that are being built. Three that are being built. So it's coming along just slowly.
I wanted to say, was it 12 lots down there?
14. Yes,
sir.
Yeah, we have all that we want to sell except for two sold, so.
Yeah, and Wayne, I'd imagine probably around when they get 10 or so built.
I'm fine at 7 or 8.
Oh, you're fine at 7 or 8. Okay, so theoretically.
Y'all going to keep 2 or 3 lots for yourself, correct?
Yes, sir. My dad's moved back there. One of the houses being built right now is his, so he's keeping lots 7, 8, 9 for himself. So
theoretically, we could be ready next year to.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, is that the intent?
Well, some of the ones we're selling just to individuals instead of building ourselves, and their plan could be to wait until the market, the building process and stuff go down, or they could go ahead and build. I know one, so we just sold lot 5, and their plan is to wait a year and see what happens. So, it's just, I think lots 10 and 11, they're ready to go anytime they can get a builder, but that's also struggling right now as well.
So, it's just a process. This is the first one that I've seen.
You seen any concerns?
finance office keeper.
So this seems like a stupid question. Is it that the original amount's not enough? Well, obviously.
Yes, ma'am. But it's just inflation and everything going up. Asphalt's
the cost of material. Right now, it's sky high. You're paying $90 a ton of hot mix. Last year, we paid $83.
Are the plans the same as when the original letter was
published? Yeah, the roads have to be built to county road standards. Mr. Hancock approved the original quote that was given to him, and then the prices have just gone up since then. That's why he asked for the letter of credit raised.
Wasn't it $125,000?
Okay, we have any further comments? We have a recommendation from our road supervisor. I'll entertain a motion relative to this letter of credit.
I make a motion to extend the letter of credit.
All right, motion by Mr. Hunter. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
All right, second by Ms. Wyland. Any further comments? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries.
Just give that to me and I'll give it to the finance department.
All right.
So I don't have to take a copy to the end or anything?
I'll do it for you. Take care of it, Dan.
Okay, we're going to go back up to item number 3.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. So we had a public hearing, did not have any public comment regarding adding Cannon Way to the county road list. I would now ask that we consider making a recommendation one way or the other to the county commission regarding adding Cannon Way to the county road list.
Okay.
And we did have at our last meeting, we did have a recommendation from Mr. Hancock, our road supervisor, to add this to the county road list.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to that effect? To add a Cannon Way to the official county road map?
Go ahead.
I'll make a motion on the basis of our road superintendent's motion that Cannon Way be added to the Cannon County roads.
All right, motion, Ms. Wyland. Second?
A second.
Second? Okay. Thank you.
Tommy, that was chipped, wasn't it?
Tar chip.
Tar chip.
Yeah. Okay. Grandfather.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Our motion carries. Okay, we got that wrapped up. Item number 3.
Thank you, sir.
We'll go to item number 5, which is the consideration of the final subdivision plat for property located on Jim Cummins Highway, which is the Russell Division. Is that you, Michael?
Here, I'll have
you. Thank you.
Lawrence Russell subdivision dividing 4.126 acres into two proposed new lots located on Jim Cummings Highway. Lot 1 is 1.139 acres and two existing structures. Lot 2 is 2.987 acres and three existing structures. The applicant is asking for an SSD certificate block variance due to the fact that Lot 2 does not have an existing septic system. Proposed new lots are zoned A1 with an existing 6-inch water line and complies with all other aspects of the zoning resolution and the subdivision regulations. I will let Mr. Roberts explain why his client is asking for this SSD variance. And basically, Lot 2 does not have a septic system. If approved, it would not have a septic system.
What we're trying to do here is divide the residential property from the commercial property. It's all zoned A1, but it's currently in use to build mini barns, the commercial portion, and he's wanting to separate the house portion from that. He has three lots, three existing lots that were sold to him by deed It was understood that two of those lots did not have septic systems, and or a septic site for a septic system. But all he needs it for is a storage space to place his products. He's got an existing business there, been in business for close to 30 years, and currently they use a toilet, a porta toilet, out back that is serviced every so often. But there is not any soil there for a septic system. The only available spot where it's not being used for storage or buildings is a swampy area down south end, where it says grass. That's the only place that there might possibly be a septic system, but it's swampy because there's a drain that runs through there, and it's not going to perk. It's just too wet. And he's not asking to put a restroom in. He's got that covered with the porta-john, and would like just to have approval. Call it a non-residential buildable lot if you want to. He's not planning on building houses there anyway. The residential house does have an existing septic system working, and I've noted where the existing septic system is on that lot.
Michael, where is this exactly?
Just the other side of 53 Market, going toward Manchester.
Be on the right, so correct.
On the left.
I'll be on the left.
Yes.
Okay, on the left.
Martin Mini Marts.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
So if he owns this whole thing and he's living on it and he's operating the business now, what's the point of dividing it?
You want to answer that?
The point of
dividing it.
Simply because I'm getting, I think, four different tax cards for that property, and I'm just wishing to combine it. You know, the commercial side is separating that house and 1 acre, which is just basically a residence that I have here as a rental property. But it's been in existence there for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And we've used it that way. And speaking with a soil scientist, I mean, because of the lot being all gravel, semi-trucks, forklifts, storage buildings being driven across it, there would be no really acceptable site to put a septic system if I chose to do that.
But right now it's all zoned agriculture, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So when we do this, Tommy, the commercial lot, does that just keep, are we requiring it to go commercial?
No, ma'am.
Because
it was zoned agriculture when the use has not changed since the original zoning. It's not like they're wanting to divide and then have a future use be something else. The use would stay the same. You know, when we adopted the zoning ordinance, you know, one of the proposals was to zone 53 all the way commercial on both sides, and that was rejected. And so we knew this would happen. You know, when the committee knew this would happen when they rejected that proposal. And so, I mean, it's an existing non-conforming use. We have them littered all over the county.
Okay, but do we want to continue to do that? I mean, is it, wouldn't this be an appropriate time then to actually look at rezoning it commercial?
Could possibly be, but it's not a requirement of our subdivision regulations as of right now. You know, if you divide an existing use that's non-conforming, that you rezone it.
Would it not be grandfathered in? Anyway?
It certainly is grandfathered in, yes, sir.
No intent to sell either one of these lots. He's just dividing. He's just dividing.
Mostly for tax purposes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Tommy, do you want to weigh in?
Well, I will. And I've spoken to Mr. Roberts about this. And my thought is that I would not grant the SSD variance. I would require him to get a soils test, even though Mike has told me it's gravel, it's not going to perk, and I understand that. When I first started this, I had a meeting with TDEC, And they told me that the only entity in the state of Tennessee that can declare a lot non-buildable is the Department of Environment and Conservation, thus meaning that they recommended that even if they knew the land wouldn't perk, that they went through the process anyway, and that the state could say, this lot is non-buildable. In my opinion, if we grant that variance, we are the ones that are determining that that lot is non-buildable. And plus, I would want non-buildable plastered on that on lot two, so someone could not mistakenly buy that. I told Mr. Roberts that. He said, well, I want to give it a try anyway, which I don't blame him. I would too. But that is my opinion. If you choose to go and grant the variance, I mean, I won't stand up and holler about it, but I mean, that's just my opinion on the matter. I don't think we need to get in the precedent of allowing, you know, a lot to be divided without a suitable septic. Now, that being said, even if the lot fails, I do feel like we can grant approval on that, but it would have the state's, you know, it would have the state's test that says that it failed and thus is a non-buildable lot. I don't have a problem dividing under those circumstances. But it is, in my opinion, not a best practice to grant an SSD variance for a situation like this. And I understand that it will cost Mr. Russell more money, and I'm certainly not trying to impose upon him more fees than he's already having to pay. But that's just my opinion, and that's what I consider to be a best practice.
Can we go straight to TDEC for that approval or not approval?
I have.
Or does that have to go through the soil science?
If TDEC is willing to give you a letter that says that it is not buildable, in my opinion, they are the supreme authority in that matter in the state of Tennessee. I have no issue. Like I said, I'm not trying to cost Mr. Russell any more money than he's already got. But in my opinion, that's the best way to go about it.
So would he have to, if the state writes the letter, and this is hypothetical based on what may happen here tonight, but if the state makes it non-buildable, would he have to reapply for a plat?
I don't think so, no. If he's already paid his fee, what I would ask that Mr. Roberts do is obviously put a note on the plat, lot two is non-buildable, and then again, label lot two as non-buildable.
All I was offered to make it to
I mean,
waive the fees if he had to reapply.
Yeah, I think this would just be, I don't think it would be a totally new submission. I think it would be us giving guidance to Mr. Roberts and Mr. Russell as to how to proceed.
Either way, I would waive the
I would hope so, yes, sir.
Can I place not buildable for residential use?
Yes,
because
that's what it is.
He may want to add another storage shed.
That's a good point. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not buildable for residential use. Okay,
great. Never intended for residential.
Yes, sir.
Would it be?
Yes.
And that's just as for over 30 years this way.
Okay. I think, Tommy, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think this would warrant a motion one way or the other.
Well, we could either table or Mr. Roberts could withdraw. If we table it, we have to take action on it next month, and the test might not be done in that amount of time. I would prefer that Mr. Roberts or Mr. Russell withdraw a plat from consideration.
And then go to TDEC, get what they need, and then...
Would they have to come back to us?
Yes, I would. I mean, and not to be able to take the hard line, but if they don't want to withdraw, I would request that we deny the plat until they can properly submit us with some documentation.
Okay. Mr. Roberts, your wishes?
I think we're going to withdraw. We'll go ahead and withdraw until we can get some information from TDEC, a letter or something along those lines.
And if you do that, you will have my full recommendation.
I appreciate that. Thank you for your help there.
Give me the cops. I want to know if you'll be murdered.
I haven't got one copy.
This was sent with your
get it, Tommy. I'm sorry. I'm down with
the back. I'll get it here.
Tommy's helping me
out.
I'll get it.
Do you know who it was that blowed at you in the yellow truck up there?
I heard something the other day, but I wasn't sure who it was.
It was me. All in grain. Storing to Manchester. Use it at your mailbox, checking the mail.
Yeah.
I've got one here.
I wasn't sure who that was.
Okay. Half is small, I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. This is the Lindell Cox subdivision plat. One lot for property larger than 5 acres on Colbert Hollow Road. The proposed new lot would consist of 1.734 acres, an existing residential structure, and an existing accessory structure. The proposed new lots are zoned A1, served by an existing 6-inch water line, and comply with both the zoning resolution and the subdivision regulations. And Mr. Roberts, that is a stick-built home on this lot, correct?
It's actually double wide.
Double? Okay, let me rephrase. Double wide on a permanent foundation?
Yes.
No issues with this one, Mr. Chairman. As long as he's got his signatures.
And Mike, the reason they're doing this is?
He's got a 5-acre track there. He's got also a 30-acre track next to it. In fact, I think he's got two other tracks next to it. He's trying to reduce the size. He's wanting to sell. He's building a new house further back on the property. He's wanting to sell the one lot with as small as he can. And that's the only thing he's wanting to do with it. Just so he can divide that off and not have to sell 5 acres when he can sell less.
What is the reason for the mobile home?
That's where he's living right now.
Okay. But that's you're it. Building another house.
He's going to build. He's building another house further back on the property.
And that is a double wide on permanent foundation. That's okay. Not considered a single okay. Family. That's not considered a mobile home.
Okay.
So originally the entire was how many acres?
I think he's got close to 30 acres there total.
And so now he's taking off one.
1.7.
1.7. And then, so he's going to have 25 left, or 28
yes,
left?
That's right.
Signatures?
Got all the signatures. Except
this doesn't, but...
Oh, that's mine.
Oh, that's yours. Okay, this one.
That one is the original.
Very good. Okay, okay.
It does have signatures. I apologize, I only had the one copy.
No, it's okay.
And I haven't had a chance to get back to the office to make more.
All right, I'll entertain a motion relative to this plat.
Oh, I do have more copies. Okay, great.
That's okay.
So this has an existing house on it, plus you're wanting to put a mobile home, but...
He's got an existing double-wide mobile home on a permanent okay. Foundation, and that's what's shown.
Okay.
And that's the only thing we're concerned with tonight is
okay.
That lot.
Okay.
The rest of it is over 5 acres and beyond...
Well, I just saw this existing, and then I thought there were going to be two.
No, not okay. On that same track. No.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get.
I'm sorry.
Straight.
I move to approve that.
All right, I've got a motion by approval, Ms. Jennings. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
All right, second by Mr. Hunter. Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We'll move on to item number 7, which is consideration of the final subdivision plat for property located on Cove Hill Road, the Farnsworth Division.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Roberts sent me an email earlier this week. The Farnsworth Division has been withdrawn from consideration.
All right. We'll move on to item number 8, consideration of the final subdivision plat for property located on SP Road, which is the Lester Family Partnership Division.
Sorry.
this is the Lester Family Partnership Division. This is one lot for property larger than 5 acres located on SB Road. Proposed new lots would consist of 1.007 acres in existing residential structure, zoned A1 agriculture, served by a 4-inch water line, and would comply with both the zoning resolution and subdivision regulations. There is an existing mobile home on the property, and I'll allow Mr. Roberts to
This is a single wide mobile home. I've got a title for a 2001, I believe, mobile home. Make sure. It was installed there in 2005. Paperwork I've got, if you would like to pass that around.
Sure.
This is the title, and the drawing, the paper behind it is the when it was installed by the electric department in 2005. The object of this division is to be able to sell. He's actually wanting to give it to his one of his employees that has been renting that for a while now, and he's looking to sell it to him. And the agreement was to sell him 1 acre. We are keeping a 20-foot ingress-egress easement down the north side. So for mutual use of the driveway, just so that he'll have access, driveway access to his barn. The remaining property is quite large, and so he's got plenty more property to go. It's mostly a vacant field.
So the water utility district representative says that it crossed out the last part of the phrase, that it will adequately serve the property here and subdivided, and put prior to the subdivision, were installed prior to the subdivision of this property. I haven't seen that before. That's interesting.
Did you read that again?
Yeah, the certification that's the boilerplate language on here says, I hereby certify that the water lines shown hereon or in place and are operated and maintained by the West Warren Viola Water Utility District and will adequately serve the property herein subdivided. And it was changed to, I hereby certify that the water lines shown hereon or in place and are operated and maintained by the West Warren Viola Water Utility District and were installed prior to the subdivision of this property. So it doesn't say that we'll adequately serve the property as subdivided, but just that they were installed prior to the subdivision.
4-inch water lines are almost always adequate to serve a house. In fact, the structure is being used, is using that water line now. It has been for years.
Why did she change that?
I'm not sure. I was looking for signatures. I'm sorry, I didn't see that. But yeah, it was.
Is it crossed out by the sign?
Yes.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know why.
Kelly Cantor was the general manager of Western Bible Utility District.
Well, what she put totally changes the standard boilerplate language. She is not saying that it will adequately serve. She's totally taking that out.
Yeah, I don't know why that.
I would not consider that properly certified.
I don't think I would either.
That's the whole point of the whole. That's very strange.
Yeah, that you can't do that. Mike, you
can. And they're using it now.
Good catch.
I don't doubt that.
I mean, you couldn't put a fire hydrant on a 4-inch line. But there's 4-inch lines all over this county.
I have no idea why she has crossed that
out. I don't either. 4-inch line.
I'm not sure as to why she has basically refused to certify.
There's a lot of meat, 2-inch.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's it. I don't understand that.
I don't either, because it makes you think that she's making a statement that the 4-inch line will not adequately serve the property here in subdivided. And I think we all feel that it does, but it makes you wonder why she
4-inch line might not serve a whole community of 1-acre lots.
Mm-mm.
Can you require further explanation?
I mean, yeah, yes, ma'am. I mean, I would like further explanation too. You can't, and I mean, Mike knows this. You can't alter a block without the approval of the planning commission. Can you do that? And I do agree with Mike. A 4-inch water line should more than adequate. You know, it should serve that piece of property. No question. What I hate to see is, I don't think we can approve it, but I'd hate to see them have to come back another meeting for it. I don't know. I know that you don't like doing stuff like that, but I don't know.
Well, if I may, I think, of course, this was done prior to the subdivision of this, before we brought this plat. It was done this way before. And maybe that's what she's trying to say. It was already installed. It's there in place. I don't know why she crossed out will adequately serve this property subdivided. Why would they put in water lines that don't adequately serve their customers?
Wayne didn't mark his out.
No, that's the only one that's been altered.
He may be making a statement that doesn't currently provide that's what it seems to be. If it's,
well,
I have no evidence of that, but
I know at times we've had to get pressure tests done for subdivisions.
I would like to find out what the thinking of the utility district is.
I mean, I'm not sure we have any choice but to say that we need to find out really why she crossed that out before we approve it.
Could be that the West Warren Utility District is making a statement that they're not able to adequately serve the community for some reason.
Well, it could be it, but I mean, this is an existing tap here. This is not.
It sounds to me like she's just reinforcing this tap is okay. You know?
I don't think we should speculate as to why she crossed it out. I think we should ask her what was going on. And how you guys want to handle it after that is up to you. But I certainly would like to know why she crossed it out.
Tommy, do the applicants have to return, or can their agent, Mr. Robert, return?
Yes, absolutely. I don't know. My concern is like
timing.
Yeah. It's a one lot subdivision, meets all our requirements. Every signature's on there, but a signature block's on. I don't know, but I know you guys don't like doing pending signatures, so I'm not gonna.
Could we accept a letter from her if one submitted and signed explaining this?
I think absolutely.
And putting it on the next agenda.
Well,
but what's the explanation?
I don't. Let me rephrase that. I don't think so. I think we need an unaltered subdivision plat because, and here's why. Someone, even though we all see it right now that it was done before it was approved, it could, and I don't know why, but this could happen. Someone could say somebody altered that after the fact.
Yeah.
That's going in a public record.
That's correct.
Well, we do alter them from time to time, but they're usually very minor.
Not like that.
But I don't think I've ever seen a block.
I've not seen that. You might have altered
something down here, and the initial did or something. But
that's other than writing in the I made sure I put in the West Warren Viola Utility, Water Utility District, because it wasn't on a previous plat.
What if we did this? What if we approved this plat pending an unaltered water certificate? Because all the rest of them are signed. An unaltered water certificate as per our regulations.
With that specific signature body.
With that specific, yes. Because, and I just don't think they should have to come back for something that they didn't do. Mike says he didn't know about it. So, but that's just my recommendation. That's what I think.
Thoughts? I don't have any problem with that personally. If she can sign a clean block.
So what exactly does that mean if she can sign a clean block?
Without it being altered in any way.
But where is she signing? Because she's already altered the whole document.
Well, then,
I'm going to have to get new signatures.
Okay, so that you will. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Get new signatures on all of them.
I'll get all new signatures.
Okay.
That's
fine with me, too.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to that effect then.
Okay. I make a motion that we accept this plat once.
So we're going to approve or make a motion to approve the Lester Family Partnership Division pending that the water certificate signature block is signed unaltered.
Should we put a time limit on it where after X number of days, if it's not done, then it has to be redone?
I would say if it's not done by the next meeting, then he would bring in another plat.
Okay.
Bring it back for consideration.
If I do that, I'm going to bring a letter stating why. If I have to bring it back and she refuses to not accept your certification,
then that's not on us. That's on West Warren Viola Utility District.
Well, I need if they want. I've run into this with CUD in Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. They want to alter, from time to time, they alter their signature block because they're going through all kinds of changes right now. But they want to alter their signature block, and so they go to the county and say, we want this signature block altered. This is the wording we want to see.
So
we have to change the plat, all the signature block on the plats before we print them out.
My recommendation is that if she doesn't want to sign it as is listed in our subdivision regulations, then the plat will need to be brought back to the commission next month with her rationale as to why she won't sign it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. If I could bring back a letter
sign it clean, then unaltered, the motion that Pat has made is that we will accept it and you can get it signed.
Yeah. Sounds good. That sounds good. And if she won't change it, then I'll get
you'll
a letter.
You'll need to come back
on the explanation.
Yeah. Come back.
Okay, I have a motion. Do you hear a second?
I'll second that.
All right, I have a second. But Mr. Hunter, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Let me know as soon as possible on that.
Who makes these blocks? The wording.
He just said the subdivision.
It's in the subdivision regulations.
Yes, the certificate block is listed in the subdivision regulations.
Mm-hmm. So we don't have that.
So if they change, you need to change the regulations.
Yeah.
You don't have a copy of the subdivision regulations?
Oh, no, we don't have the authority to.
No, I don't think so.
No, you'd have to do it by. I think you have to take a 30-day notice. I think there is a public hearing change.
I didn't see anything wrong with the way our certificate block is listed in our subdivision regulations. Just.
And the subdivision regulations would have to be changed. They are regulations.
Yeah.
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 Suggestions.
What do you think, Roy? Oh, okay. I'll get that to Mr. Robinson.
Okay, we'll move on to item number 9, discussion of proposed zoning amendment regarding the residential uses in A1 agricultural district.
I thought Nathan might stick around, but
I'll yield to Mr. Robinson.
I have nothing to say about it. I thought it was put on the agenda for Mr. Luna to comment.
That was my understanding as well.
Is he here?
He said he was.
Yeah, he said. I talked to him today, and he said he was going to stay.
He's coming.
But his daughter, not to tell tales out of school, but his daughter's not feeling well, and so I think he may have went home.
After the BZA meeting, he said to me that he was going to speak to this issue. And I sat down and kept track of him.
Well, I think, does any, it did not, our recommendation did not pass.
Why? What were the problems with that?
I think, Jonathan, can you speak to that?
I can.
Okay.
Of course, I was asked no questions as county attorney by any commissioner. I did not speak on it. It's not my place to speak on it unless I'm asked. Mr. Luna addressed the commission and stated on the record in a public meeting that single wide mobile homes, as in his opinion as BZA chairman, are single family residences allowed in an A1 district. And that the zoning resolution does not disallow them. Does not require a special exception. He made a motion to change significantly the amendments that were asked by the planning commission, or that were recommended by the planning commission. That motion failed. Discussion by the commission was only that by Mr. Singleton, I believe, that the Commissioner Singleton did not want all of the amendments in one single pass-fail motion. He wanted it to be broke, or recommendation by the Planning Commission. He wanted to separate into two separate recommendations. One for adding the appendix of the large gathering and temporary use permits, and one being the amendments regarding the single wide mobile homes. Is that your understanding?
It is. He wanted to, he felt there were two topics, and the proposed amendment ought to be divided into two amendments. I must add that if, in fact, we're going to consider Mr. Luna's desire to make a single wide acceptable in an A1 district, that would be a third amendment, because that's the way it is now. So if you're going to change it, I would prefer you didn't taint the other two amendments, which has happened, by changing the requirement for a single wide to be, well, changing the requirement that a single wide is not acceptable unless it is approved by the BZA.
I should add that this was published in the newspaper general circulation twice.
It was.
And additionally, there was an ad taken out by some entity that we're not sure of, who encouraged people to come fight the single wide ban.
It was very inaccurate, first of all, but...
I should state to the Planning Commission that a total of three individuals showed up to do so. Those are the only individuals who spoke in the public hearing on that.
I think there's also on Facebook something about it.
I think there was a lot on Facebook.
Well, I think that Mr. Chairman, the three showed up. One was events.
One spoke about the events. Only two individuals spoke about the single one.
Right.
Issue.
Is that correct? I believe that's accurate. I believe that's accurate. Mr. Luna, Mr. Chairman, just, I asked him, was he going to speak, and he said that indeed his child had flu and he had to get back. So I'll be happy to speak at the next meeting, but I had to get back home.
Well, can we present the two of the three amendments? Can we? Do we need to? Do we need to re-recommend two of the amendments, or is that moot? I mean, I mean, we've already recommended these amendments. Would it just not be okay to separate them clerically and present them that way?
Which is what I did in the support package, as I essentially said. I created version 1A and 1B to make them two separate.
And with regards to the other issue, I mean, Nathan is the BCA chairman and a member of the county commission. I think it would be wise to hear his thoughts on the matter before we recommended it, sent it back to the county commission. But, I mean, the other two, I feel like we don't really need to do anything except maybe put them on two separate pieces of paper.
Yeah.
But isn't I understand the, what was the one about the gatherings, what was that called?
Temporary use permit.
Temporary use, I understand that. But now the other one, you're recommending we send that back as is?
No, ma'am.
Okay, then what?
I don't think we need to do anything.
Then what's the second one you're talking about then?
Well, there's three proposed amendments. Correct, David?
That's my opinion.
But you just said the third one. The third one is not your package.
There are three proposed amendments. Two of them, to my knowledge, the way I understand it, the commission really didn't have an issue with. It was that third single-wide mobile home in an A1 issue that maybe there were some questions about. So my thought is we've already recommended all three of these to the county commission. I guess it was a package on
yeah.
Just two.
Just two. Right.
Not okay. Three. Well, then my apologies then. So I'm gonna withdraw everything I just said.
it was the third one that you
it was a package, Joe.
Explain that one so we can get this clear. And this one hasn't been brought up to this body either.
Let's do all of them. So
wait.
Okay.
Item 9, discussion of proposed zoning amendment regarding residential uses in the A1 agricultural district. Now, that, as I understand it, is Mr. Lewis's intent to talk about single-wide trailers and the acceptability of them in an A1 district. That is what I'm calling the additional third amendment, because the way it stands now, single-wides are not permissible unless appeal is made to the Board of Zoning Appeals and that appeal is approved. And then you can put a single wide in an A1 district. That's the way that it reads now. If you want to change that, so be it. But it's a third amendment. It's not one of the two dealing with non-conformance or dealing with special events. And I don't want those two tainted by the third.
So I don't think, I mean, but we have recommended those two.
We have recommended those two.
But they didn't want them in one amendment. They wanted them in two separate, basically two separate agenda items.
Exactly. Ostensibly, that's what they said.
So let's do that then.
Could they have just approved half of it, though? Or was it an all or nothing?
I did advise the committee. I guess I told the Fed. They did ask me a question. Actually, they asked me two questions. One was concerning the mass gathering temporary use permits by Commissioner Ashford. I answered all of her questions concerning how they came about and how they were being enforced already. The other question was, can we do this piecemeal? And I indicated to the commission that they could have done it piecemeal with two different motions on whatever amendments that they were going to approve and not approve the others that they didn't want to.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I cut the baby in half. I got two different.
Basically, I did indicate to the commission that they could cut the baby in half if they wanted to. They chose not to, and told you to cut the baby in half for them.
Mm-hmm. That's
accurate. Well, then let's do that.
But we're missing the mass gatherings.
The mass gatherings is just an appendix.
Right. I'm not hearing that anybody wants any changes for that. But the other one, however, the
Non-conforming?
Well, what was brought up.
Single wide.
I wasn't there, but this is what I've been told. And I talked to Nathan about it, too. Was that the single wide qualifies as a single family residence.
In his opinion, yes.
In his opinion.
He is the chairman of the BZA.
Okay, so let's start from there. Does his opinion have anything to do with the amendment we're trying to get passed?
No.
You say no.
You mean in court?
No, I mean...
Because that's what I'm concerned about.
Does it have to be further... is the amendment that we're trying to... that I thought we passed because... we were trying to give people, we realized that we left something out, and that if by an act of God a mobile home gets hit, they need to be able to replace it with a mobile home.
Yeah, what this Planning Commission passed was to give single wide owners a period of time with which to replace their non-conforming use and not lose their grandfather status.
It was a very positive action, but somehow in that discussion,
It became an issue
because mobile homes were not being allowed.
So was it a matter that it wasn't explained properly by somebody in the Planning Commission or whatever? Or was the water muddy because Nathan brought this my opinion book?
It was very much muddy.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Can I speak to the politics of it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'll speak to the politics of it. The politics of it is this. In my opinion, my humble opinion, we're going to have a conversation with the chairman of the BZA committee to see what he has to say on this amendment. Because the politics of it, agree with it or disagree, the BZA chairman sits on the commission. It's going to hold some weight. So, what needs to happen is see where he's at.
Yes.
See where the BZA's at with the Planning Commission in conjunction together on that amendment.
And if I might
that's
add,
just how I feel.
One of the functions of the BZA is administrative review. And when the BZA chair and the land use administrator disagree on an issue,
yes, sir,
that's a problem.
It's a problem.
Because it's not a one-off. It's a theoretical, or it's a fundamental difference of opinion.
The BCA chairman is not the end-all, be-all of the BCA.
No.
However,
no.
When you go from the subcommittee, which he and I were on, as were you two, the subject of single wives came up multiple times there was never once did I ever hear that it was equal to a single-family residence. And this is years. We're talking about 3 years. Mm-hmm. So my problem with this is, number one, everything you said is exactly correct. This is now a political issue. It didn't have to be a political issue,
but it is
now a political issue. And unfortunately, you're right. We're going to have to wait until he comes formally in front of him, explains
where he's at.
Where he's at. But there's not a person that, and if my memory doesn't serve me correct, please tell me. Mm-hmm. But we've talked about this multiple times, and Tommy, you were there.
Yes, ma'am.
Too.
Yes, ma'am.
On the subcommittee, and then this, and never once was there any, there was not a minute of light in between the belief that this was our intent, and that's the way the resolution was written. So,
prior to myself and Mr. Robinson having discussions on this, and Mr. Lee, and arriving at what the ordinance or the resolution actually said and what it meant and what the intent was, your county attorney reached out to the drafter of that resolution, Mr. Luna, who was a member of the committee, as you said, early on in February or March. And your county attorney was told by the drafter of the resolution that the intent was for stick-built homes to be single-family residences. We operated under that assumption, under that direction, by the drafter of the resolution to go forward with what we have brought here on multiple occasions and what we discussed tonight. That apparently changed significantly at the county commission level when Mr. Luna spoke as a commissioner of the county commission. And that's all I can say.
Just like I stated, at the political part of it.
And I was, that's not all I'm saying. I'm sorry if I didn't. I should say one more thing.
Go ahead.
Ms. Weiland has stated, you know, asked me, like, what's the, she's made a very good point, what's the real result? Well, the intent of the resolution, the legislative intent in any resolution, is very important. There's any question of vagary, any vagary whatsoever. There's, in a court of law, if someone was to sue and said, you denied me my subdivision plat or my special exception, or you improperly cited me for putting a single wide mobile home here, et cetera, et cetera. Before the court would be the question of what the zoning resolution actually meant and what the legislative intent of that was at the time. And at this point, the other side would be able to play in court a recording of the county commission meeting in which the chairman of the Board of Zoning Appeals says that they are allowed. And he's also the drafter of the resolution.
Co-drafter.
In my humble opinion.
Co-drafter.
In my humble opinion, you bring, and it's just me, and I know I'm not on this board anymore, well, I am, but no voting. But in my humble opinion, you bring the amendment for the events. You leave the other till you see where Mr. Luna's at. I mean, because politically it's going to get.
When's your next county commission meeting?
Next county commission meeting is the 3rd. November, is it November 3rd?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, it is.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
You may, yes.
The original goal of the zoning was to protect the citizens of Cannon County from non-desirable businesses and industry. It wasn't originally intended to control the citizens or what they do on their property, where they live, what they live in. In an agricultural zone, it was my understanding, and this was done back 2018 and before, that they didn't want to limit people. They just wanted to give them a voice, a chance to object to businesses going in next door, which they do quite often, as we've seen from the BZA meetings. It keeps a landfill from moving in next door. Before zoning, they had no choice. And so the plan was to not limit what they lived in, but to allow the citizens of Cannon County to live as they were up to some point. And if I may, a compromise might be that if you want to limit single-wide mobile homes in the residential district, the R1.
They're not allowed.
That's what I'm saying. But if you want to limit those in the R1 district, I could understand that, because the houses are a lot closer together. They're usually in tighter quarters, and nobody wants to look out their $300,000 or $400,000 home at a $150,000 mobile home, and it would bring rent prices down in that community. But in agricultural zone, those are big pieces of property, and you're not likely to be looking out your window at somebody's mobile home on the next 100-acre tract of land.
And well, so, with all due respect, and I mean,
I believe I'm speaking at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
I think that if you want to limit single-wide mobile homes, you should be able to limit those on residential R1 zones, but not in the A1 zone. I think that was more the intent of the original zoning resolution.
You just had two subdivisions of agricultural property less than 5 acres, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
they haven't come before this point.
I'll just address that, Mike. I mean, I was at every single meeting.
Right.
Everyone. I know what the intent was. The intent was mobile homes are a special exception in the A1 district. Patricia's right. It was talked about and talked about and talked about.
Mm-hmm. And actually, Mike,
that's fact.
So and even to go broader, in the subcommittee, we had anti-zoning people. Mm-hmm. We had people like myself who bought sizable property, and now I've got an asphalt plant. No, whatever that
means. Sure, so, and I'll be honest, I was one of them.
But we had a whole spectrum. And in the end, we all came together on planned growth. That's what it was. It wasn't limiting this or we want this out. It was what is best for the county to have people still enjoy living in Cannon County. But it was not just about industry, because we looked very hard, and there was a discussion about keeping everything agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and what I'm seeing now, however, is that that needs to be re-looked at. And we need to start, but that's not for today. But you're minimizing the 2 years' work we did was not just to limit industry. It was to look at the growth. And it was also to look at what Rutherford County was doing, because Rutherford County, all people are coming across the border, still spending all their money over there. But so I just want to make sure that people don't think that it was a very limited scope. It was not a limited scope. And we had a very dedicated group. And by the end, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tommy, but we were all on the same page.
Yes, ma'am. 4 years worth of planning.
Right. We got a long time.
Mm. Yes.
Well, that's just with me.
I was here for at least 6 years of it.
Were you on the subcommittee?
I wasn't on the subcommittee, but I was here.
He was at a lot of meetings.
I was here for most of those meetings.
But the subcommittee is really where it got down to. We met on Saturdays, and we met on. That's where the real discussion started. Is really
3 and 4 hours.
3 and 4 hours. That was for years. So.
And I applaud your work. I do.
But you're exactly right, Greg. The only thing we can do about that is what you recommended. But is have Nathan discuss in an open forum.
Well, discussion.
That will, if I may, that will probably come up next month, because what the plat that we pulled tonight, the Farnsworth Division, has a single wide mobile home just installed about a year or so ago, and he is applying for a variance to allow that mobile home. And so Mr. Loon is going to, and the BZA is going to look at that.
But isn't he coming to the Planning Commission? He's not going to the Planning Commission.
He will if it.
It will once, because I'm going to bring it back next month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we got to get that variance first, and then the Planning Commission can rule on it.
But until the resolution is changed, we've got to go about business as usual.
And that's why I consider it to be a third change, third amendment.
Then what is the third amendment now?
This notion that Mr. Luna has proposed that a single wide trailer is, in fact, a single family dwelling. I mean, that.
What? Does age or anything like that?
No, that's not got anything to do with it.
Okay.
he may have some objection to that language, but that was never brought out.
Either one of these amendments, Mr. Chairman, cannot go on the November agenda.
Okay, let's just.
We haven't got time for to put it on there. We didn't place it on the agenda.
So
for this
December,
purpose.
The discussion we had was that it would be on the December agenda, which would give us enough time to work through these issues.
Yes.
And prepare a however many amendments they are, but they would be separate and presented to the Board of Commissioners as separate amendments.
Well, I kind of understand the separate, the desire for them to be considered separately. Anyway, if we can't act on anything, and no reason for us to act on anything tonight, we'll just take it back up next month.
Be aware, Mr. Chairman, that December 1st, I believe, is the County Commission meeting. It's the first Thursday. And this body would meet on the 22nd, the fourth Tuesday. Is that correct? In November? Mm-hmm. Is that correct? I don't think there's enough time between November 22nd. There is not enough time. November 22nd to have proper public notice of a public hearing on amendment on any amendments by the December 1st meeting of the County Commission.
And the following meeting would be
January.
January. Well, that's just the best we can do then.
Well, that's the way it is. I mean, that's the way it is.
Okay, I'm going to move on then to item number 10, update from the Land Use Administrator. Do you have anything else?
No, I said.
Item number 11, other business is necessary?
Yeah, we need to elect officers. We don't have a secretary, and it's been 1 year since our elections. So thanks to Mr. Mitchell being elected county executive. He's no longer on the Planning Commission. So currently our officers are Boyd Barker as chairman, Patricia Weiland, vice chairman, and secretary is vacant.
Boyd, okay.
Who's not here?
That's
there you go.
Randy. Randy.
No. We'll need somebody to sign flags.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, is that typically the secretary, you know, is someone who is available for surveyors to be able to sign the plats. And I mean,
oh, that's Carol. She's
just sitting here doing nothing.
Doing that. PCS doesn't keep her here busy.
The executive can't do that. That's got to be part of the.
Yeah.
Randy Gannon, has he been approved to be on this committee?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so he's just not here tonight.
He's just not here.
Okay.
Okay. Which is unlikely.
The committees have been approved.
Okay. Okay, he's been approved then.
Blake Insell is on the other. Is that right?
Blake, he is on the BZA.
BZA, okay. Right.
We have Randy, Lacey, and Bush John tonight.
Okay. How handle these one at a time or all slate all together? We need a volunteer or someone drafted to serve as secretary. Ms. Carlin, do you have a...
Personally, I can't. I'm not here enough. Like, I travel all over for court and stuff. So, respectfully, I won't be able to. I think that Mr. Gannon or Mr. Buchanan or, I hate to say Mr. Wilkinson, but.
If I may, I don't think we need to elect a secretary without that person being in the room. Yeah. Typically, I'm all for that, but this is a very important position,
it is.
And if that person we elect is not able to...
And I was being facetious when I suggested.
Yeah.
And for the record, I agree, too.
But what we could do, and we have done in the past, is allow Boyd to sign in the absence of a secretary, and then we could elect officers when we have more folks here.
Yeah.
All right, let's hold off a month on electing officers then. I'll be glad to serve, sign plats as needed until we get a secretary.
I would like that in a motion, though, Mr. Chairman.
All right, do we have a motion to that effect?
I make the motion.
Motion to allow me to sign in the absence of a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Do we hear a second?
Second.
Any further questions? All in favor say aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Item number 12, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So move.
So move, second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you so much.